start from John 13:36. But before we read it, we are going to pray. Lord Jesus, we know that each and every day you are busy with every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for the praise and worship we could experience together as your people. Thank you for just reminding us of who you are, how great you are. I liked, Lord, when we sang about you coming to find us, that you don't leave us alone. No matter our faults and blemishes and errors, you are more than all of those. And we praise your name for that. And Lord, I want to pray that you will use today to bring healing to many of us, please. Amen. Okay, John 13, I'm going to jump around following this story of old Peter. We start with verse 37. Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Then we go to chapter 18. Just a few verses. I think we all know the story, how it went. From verse 17. Now, Peter and John went with those people who captured Jesus. They were the only two that had the courage to follow along to the high priest's yard. John, probably because he was so young, he was very young, the youngest of the disciples, and the police wouldn't, or the army or whatever, they wouldn't look at him even like you would look at a grown man. So Peter, he had some courage going there. And then some servant girl told him in verse 70, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" She asked Peter, and he replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they made to keep warm. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself. Now we jump to verse 25. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So John doesn't have that place, but in Luke there's a verse that said, Peter went out and he cried bitterly. And now we're going to John 21. I mean, what will the Lord do with a man like this? That leaves him in the lurch at the most critical time. And we've got that whole story, Peter looking at his friends and saying, "You know what? Let's go and fish. We used to be fishermen. Let's just go and fish." And I don't know when this happened. I hope it didn't happen after, you know, Matthew 18, where Jesus appeared on the mount and told him, go into the whole world. Might have been after that. And something was still wrong with Peter. He said, hey, maybe we should just go back to catching fish, you know. And then Jesus did that miracle. He told them, you know, throw the net out on that side. Where is that piece? I skipped a piece. And when Peter realized that it was Jesus on the shore there, he jumped out of the boat. He wasn't going to wait for these people with the net, and he swam out 100 yards. Then Jesus made them a meal of fish, and when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Okay, so now, what I want to bring out with this whole story of Peter, I want to speak about trauma and hurts and things like that that influence us. So I want to give you some information so that we can see what Jesus did here. Okay, because Jesus did something very specific when he asked Peter these questions. And I want to do it in the context of the dysfunctional family. I was told to preach on the family, you know, so now I must kind of hook what I want to say onto the family. You'll forgive me for, you know, taking a bit of a wide corner here. The dysfunctional family, the family with problems, or maybe I should say, the family with more problems than usual, okay, because I don't know too many families without problems, right? The family should be and can be a picture and a witness of what God can do in people, right? A family should cause the world to long for salvation. They should look at the Christian family and say, we want what those people want to have over there. And I think that witness is possible even through the hiccups and the small problems and the clashes and the fights that every family has. Grace and love can be visible through the rough edges of a normal family's life. I do believe that. So what causes this dysfunction? What causes some families then to fall short of what God is aiming towards with the family? Why does some families have so many difficulties and pain and whatever? So we can speak about culture. Culture can be an influence. Some cultures push a family into a, you know, a really dysfunctional direction, but we're not going there. our culture at large, what kids learn at school, what they see on their phones can cause all kinds of problems and conflicts and things, but I don't even want to talk about that. I want to focus on a cause that we can do something about. Families with problems are very often the result of individuals with problems, right? And we shouldn't be thinking, yeah, there's this one person in my family. No, it doesn't really work like that. It's usually three or four people in the family with problems. And you know, these things, it gets into a cycle, right? The one problem feeds the other problem. And family can you know, just descend into chaos to such an extent that it becomes really difficult to see the salvation of God in that family, even though they might be saved. Okay? So this is something that we have to deal with. And when we say a person with problems, what do we mean? What do I mean? I would say that I mean a person that have a disproportionate or exaggerated reaction to things that happen around him. Okay? In my life, I often see it. I see something happening and my reaction is not within the norm. I find myself reacting over the top. What's happening here? Before I can even think about it, now I've, you know, gone and screamed at somebody again. Let's not go there. But anyway, you know. And where does this come from? And how many times do you have to say sorry? Now, where does this come from? It comes from a behavior that has been learned previously. We know there's something wrong. We don't know what it is. Okay? So we get a trigger. Trigger is something that happens that puts us, you know, on that path. And I want to underline, oftentimes it happens before we have time to think about our reaction. 90% of the time, what we do in life, in general, we do without thinking about it. Most of the things we do is learned behavior. The brain has a certain capacity, and we don't have the time or the bandwidth in computer speak to think through everything. I'll give you an example. If you touch something very hot, before you feel the pain, you jerk your hand away because you have already learned if I keep my hand there, it's going to hurt, right? And so much of the problems we see is this kind of learned behavior. I see something and I react strongly in order to maybe prevent hurt. And my reaction might not actually prevent hurt, right? But in a certain thing that happened, I learned that that was the best reaction for me. And now it's turned into a problem, and what can I do there? Yeah. When we react based on true things that we have learned, like the hot stove, hey, everything's good. This learned behavior helps me, right? But what happens when I have learned an untruth when I have accepted a lie. I was in a situation that, when I look back at it, was traumatic for me. It hurt me, right? And in that situation, I accepted something as true. But maybe it wasn't true. If the thing that I accepted as true there is actually not true, then my reaction when something similar happens or when something reminds me of that, my reaction is not going to be a helpful reaction because it's based on a lie. It's based on pain. Okay, I'll give you one example, just a mild example. When I was a little boy, 5 or 6 years old, you know, we lived in a safe area. We were allowed to go and play every afternoon. My mother didn't know where I was. If she wanted me back, she'd blow a whistle, which you can hear right to the end of the road. And, you know, we knew it was time to now go home. And I never went home without somebody being there. I was small. But one day, before the whistle blew, I went home. I greeted my friends, went home. When I got to my house, everything was locked up. There was no one there. You know, it's actually nothing, right? You can see that it's nothing. Nothing happened. But I learned something there. I swallowed a lie that said, I'm really not important to these people. And they will abandon me. You can see that. But it wasn't true, but that's what I got from there. And that caused me to, in certain situations that I linked on a subconscious level back to that, I reacted badly. When I perceived, when somebody carried on with whatever he was doing, when somebody turned away, when it seemed to me that people were abandoning me, I was likely to react in a disproportionate way. Doesn't matter which way. We've got all kinds of ways. Some people get angry. Some people close down. You know, we've got many ways to react to these kind of things. How do we resolve things that happen to us that taught us untrue things? How do we resolve that? I want to say very clearly that rational input will not resolve that kind of behavior. It does not. I want to give you an example. Let's say a guy is scared of heights. Okay? So, he's on a walkway, 5 meters above ground, and he freezes, he can't move. And we look at him and we say, listen, this is a metal walkway, it's got railings, you are absolutely safe, just relax and walk. And he cannot do that. A rational help or talking or trying to use reason cannot resolve the cause of that behavior, because the behavior is rooted in pain and a lie, and you can't reach that with rational speaking. Okay, so we have to go about it in a different way. How can we do that? When I eventually went to pray with somebody, and I've been to pray with lots of people, lots of times, I confessed all my sins with somebody. I'm not saying that didn't ever help me, but it didn't resolve this kind of problem, okay? We needed something else. So once I prayed with someone, and he went about it a little differently, He said, okay, so you see that kind of reaction that you had. What do you feel? And we use the emotion, you know, when you're camping and you smell a fire, you don't know where the fire is, but you can kind of walk and try and follow the smell of the smoke, and you are going to get to the fire, right? And so now we use emotion to go to find the that experience where I learned something wrong. He said, what do you feel? I said, well, I feel like this. And then he'll say something like, where have you previously or most intensely felt that emotion? And then the Lord can bring to mind, and I want to stress this also, you know, counselors are very limited. They've got their own problems. They don't have insight. They don't know what made me. But the Lord can show us things. Where have you felt that? And the Lord brought a picture of me standing there by the empty house. And he said, are you willing to listen what the Lord wants to tell you while you are experiencing that? While you are feeling that, remembering that situation. So I said, Lord, please, if you have anything to tell me, please tell me. And the Lord just showed me something. I can't remember what, because, you know, it's done, it's finished. And whatever the Lord told me destroyed the lie that I believed there. And the pain went away. So that now I can think back at standing at that empty house. There's no problem for me anymore. It doesn't hurt. Okay, so that's kind of the way. And I know I'm taking I'm using too much time, but please just bear with me here. The truth of the Lord can heal the lie that makes us act in a disproportionate way. So let us take a look at Peter's story. What went on here? Peter was in a bad place. Everybody was scared. He's sitting there. People accuse him of being a disciple of Jesus. And three times he says, no, I don't know that man. What? And now we're speculating, okay? We're speculating. I'm not preaching Bible here. I'm just saying, what could possibly have happened in Peter's heart? Imagine the kind of thing that he could learn in that situation. First thing, he could learn that I am no good. I am not worthy of following the Lord Jesus. I'll never make it as a disciple. You can start believing things like that. And then there's just a small step to another belief. The Lord Jesus cannot possibly love me anymore. Okay? So let's say, I don't know what exactly Peter was feeling there, but let's take these two possibilities and we can immediately see how it can influence his life, how he can go back to being a fisherman again, how he can give up on being a chosen apostle of the Lord Jesus, because he now believes he's not worthy and the Lord cannot love him. So how can the Lord fix this? Now, the great and the wonderful thing in these passages that I learned, we read together, is that the Lord did fix it. He did. And how did he do it? After appearing to the disciples various times, we have this incident on the beach. And Peter swims out. Now, that's good to me. Peter, he wants to serve the Lord. Even with these lies or whatever he believed in his heart. And he swims out. Let's say he runs to the Lord. The Lord gives them all a meal, and now he turns to Peter and he starts speaking to him. And he asks him, "Do you love me?" "Oh my goodness, Lord! How shall I answer this? Because, you know, I left you, I disowned you. But actually, I do love you. I love you, Lord." You know. And the Lord tells him, "Feed my sheep," or something like that, right? Where was that? I can't remember now. And then the Lord asks him again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says again, "I do love you, Lord." And the third time, why three times? Why do you think three times? Because Peter disowned Jesus three times. And the Lord is making Peter experience again that three times that he publicly denounced Jesus. The Lord Jesus wants Peter in that situation, feeling what he felt there. Right? "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Lord, you know everything. Maybe nobody else knows what I did there in that yard. But you know." And then the Lord says, "Well, Peter, you know, look after my sheep, and you will die a death that glorifies me." And somehow in that, when the Lord took Peter back to that situation where he disowned the Lord, and now the Lord is telling him a couple of things. "Peter, you are usable. I can use you. And Peter, I love you. And I'm counting on you." And that destroys the lies that Peter started believing. And it frees him up. This man that told his disciples, "Listen, people, I don't know about all, you know, evangelizing the world and blah, blah, blah. This seems like, you know, a bit over the top to me, and I can't do that." And now the Lord corrects the emotion and the belief and frees Peter up to be his disciple once again. Okay. So, how do we use this in our own lives now? Can Jesus heal our emotional wounds? Can Jesus free us from the lies that we have learned through all the bumps and difficulties and pain that we've experienced? Can Jesus do that? He can do that. Not only can he do that, he wants to do that. Okay? Do we want him to do that? And I just want to tell you people, this is a different question. Do we want him to fix our pain? So many times I've told somebody, "Listen, that reaction of yours, don't you want us to pray about it and take it to the Lord and see what he wants to do?" So many times a person has told me no. Even Christians. "No, I don't want to go there." And sometimes you sit in a, you know, in somebody's lounge, you're having coffee, and somebody says, "Oh, I'm so scared of this and that." It happened a while ago. And it was a young lady. And I told her, you know, with her family, I said, "Don't you want to take this to Jesus?" And she said, "Yes." And then, you know, I did it basically like this. I said, "So allow yourself to feel that. Where have you felt it before, or maybe most intensely? Are you feeling it? Now, are you willing for the Lord to speak to you about what happened there? And she said, Lord, I want to hear what you say. And the Lord resolved that particular fear just like that. Now, and that's just in a common conversation. So, how much effort are we willing to put in to allowing the Lord to heal us? Are we willing to jump off the boat and swim 100 yards? 100 yards is pretty far, you know. Okay, so are we willing to put in the effort to get to Jesus, to give him this stuff and ask him for healing? Now I wonder if we can make a little experiment. And it's really difficult with everyone around us sitting here. But I want to, as an exercise, okay? And you can close your eyes and do nothing. It's no problem. But let's just do a little exercise so that we can, because sometimes you can do this on your own at home. Sometimes we need somebody to take our hand and help us think about these things. And especially take what stops us from coming to Jesus out of the way. So nobody's going to say no, I'm sure, even if you want to. So I apologize if I'm making you uncomfortable. But is there something in your life, something small maybe, that the Lord wants to address right now? I want you to pray with me, if you're willing, softly, and we're going to just pray this, Lord, if there's something you want to resolve right now, please just show me or let me feel it or whatever. We'll start by doing this prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, if there's anything in my life that you want to address right now, I open myself up to you and only you so that you can bring something to mind. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you, what do you feel? Because we start with feeling, right? We're going to follow that to somewhere, if there is somewhere, if the Lord wants to do something now. Okay. So I want you to just think, what am I feeling now? If you can put a name on that feeling. Now I'm going to ask you, where did you feel that same thing before or most intensely? Okay? And see if the Lord wants to take you to some memory. And if you are remembering something, then I ask you to allow yourself to feel what you felt then. Now I want to ask you another question. I want to say, what feels true in that situation? What feels true? And if you've identified something that feels true to you in that situation, I want you to ask the Lord Jesus to speak to you about that situation. Lord Jesus, you know where each of us are, what we are thinking about, what we're experiencing. Won't you please show us whatever you want to show us while we are thinking of that situation? Lord Jesus, we know that you love us, that you are with us, that your light can defeat every lie in our lives. We don't want, Lord, to be on automatic pilot based on things that aren't true. So I want to pray, Lord, that if we notice something happening in our hearts, that You will help us to not shy away, but bring these things to you, present them to you, and then we count on your healing, Lord, that you will heal us. Amen. Now, like I say, it's a little bit difficult to do this on your own. It's possible. Often we are not really in touch with our own feelings, okay? We defend ourselves against especially things that hurt. And because we don't want to feel it again, we refuse to think about things and we can't take it to the Lord Jesus. So the best time to take something to the Lord Jesus is when you have just felt yourself reacting over the top or in a way that doesn't make sense. Right then, tell your husband, you know, I'm going to the room, leave me alone for a little while, okay? You go to the room and you take it to the Lord Jesus. You feel what you have been feeling when you reacted that way. And you ask yourself, where have I felt this previously? Ask the Lord, Lord, show me, you know, show me where you want to go with this. And if the Lord shows you a thing and you allow yourself to feel whatever you felt there, you ask the Lord, Lord, please speak to me about this situation. And he can speak his truth to you. Now, why do I say that it's sometimes difficult? It's because you have your defense mechanisms defending you from yourself. Like I said, sometimes we refuse to look at something that hurt us previously. And there are ways around that, but maybe you need a little bit of, you know, help with that. And the other thing that can keep us from experiencing healing, I think you know it already, it's anger. Let's say somebody bullied you in school, and that has provoked something in you. You react in certain ways. Like for a long time, if I saw a big guy, I already wanted to beat him up. And it doesn't matter that I'm going to lose the fight. When I see a big guy, I already want, you know, there was that reaction, right? Where was I now? I forgot my line. So now you can identify maybe the situation where you felt hurt emotionally, but you can't progress. Why not? Because you are holding on to anger. Okay? Now, holding on to anger is always going to hurt you. We know that. I'm sure you've had many sermons about anger and forgiveness and stuff like that. This is the last point I want to make, but it's an important point. So people start talking about forgiveness. And forgiveness is often too difficult. It has its problems. That word forgiveness, you know. So I don't want to use the word forgiveness. I want to say we should be willing to let things go. Okay. Somebody did something bad to you. He never asked for forgiveness. So let's not speak about forgiveness here. But the question remains, are you clinging to that anger? Are you insisting on carrying it yourself? Or are you willing to let it go? And the phrase I like is, are you willing to let it go? Not forgive the guy, not what, just let it go so that you don't carry it anymore. Why do you have to carry this baggage that can only hurt you? If you want to progress with the Lord's healing, you have to be willing to let go. How does this work? Now, I'm speaking very quickly here. Okay, this is my last point. Let's say that bully, or whatever. You think back to what happened there, or maybe it happened over 2 years, you know, but you think back to that. And you want to let it go, but you don't know how. So now you start making a list, and you try not to skip anything. You say, I am angry at this guy because of this. I'm angry because of this. I'm angry because of this. And you try to make a list of everything that you feel angry about. And your anger is often justified. I'm not saying your anger is not justified. I'm saying that if you insist on carrying it, you are hurting yourself. Let it go. Okay? So I like to imagine a pond with streams flowing into it. Just as an image to help me to say, okay, I'm angry because of this. I'm angry because he humiliated me. I'm angry because he didn't let it go. I'm angry because everything. And you get all that anger together in one place. And then you ask yourself, am I willing to let this go? And if you are willing, you imagine picking up that whole basin or that whole pond or whatever, and you say, I let this go. The Lord can take care of that from now on. I'm not carrying this anymore. I let it go. The Lord is just. I am letting it go. And if you do that, then you can carry on, you know, with the process. What do I feel? Where did I feel it? Lord, will you give me some insight into, talk to me. That's all you just need to say. Talk to me, Lord. And he can give you, he can destroy the lies that we have learned. Now, dear friends, in Peter's case, the Lord Jesus initiated this healing. The Lord is busy with you. That's why he is willing to help you to remember the stuff that matters. And it's the Lord Jesus. I'm, you know, no psychobabble, no analysis. I'm not interested in that stuff. What I'm interested in, for me and for you, is that the Lord Jesus will say, I want to deal with this thing now. And then we go with that thing. Okay. We confide in the Lord Jesus. He's our healer, as he was the healer in Peter's case. Okay. I wish for all of you, I desire for you, lots of healing, lots of joy. Okay. May the Lord really bless you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You are more, so much more. You are capable. You are great, Lord. Your love is overflowing, and your ability is without end. Please meet us, Lord. Please make us the kind of people that can freely, freely move through this world, glorifying your name. Amen.